Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Where the hell is she, man? Dr. Dahlia, where are you? Dr. Dahlia, is on, she's on KDON in Las Vegas, and she's also on Sirius XM, I think, but I follow her on Twitter, at least I did.
You unfollow a whole bunch of people.
I didn't unfollow a whole bunch of people, I just unfollowed a couple of people. I didn't unfollow, what do you mean a whole bunch of people? I only follow 120 people anyway.
Yeah, that's just it, man. You unfollow like two people, that's like a lot.
Oh, get out of here. So where is she, man? Because you're telling me I unfollowed Dr. Dahlia? There's no way. There's no way in hell. Follow her. Follow that woman. Follow that. Now, here she is. I didn't unfollow her. I found her, man. She's the one that turned me onto that story. And then Bob Green started talking about it. You know.
Did I talk about that having sex with a lady?
Having sex with a dead lady? I couldn't believe it, man. She was... She actually sent that to me. She said, this is, you know how people are with me. They say, here's one, here's fodder for the mill. And I say that with all, you know, all due respect and kindness. She said, Dr. Dye is a good gal, good, nice lady, good doc. When I had, in fact, when I had pneumonia, you know, she's a doctor and she's funny and she's on the radio, but she's a doctor. And so when I had pneumonia and I was sick, God, was I sick. It was back... you know, in the winter of 2009, and I think I messaged her or something on Facebook. I said, "I'm this and I'm that and I'm a whole bunch of other stuff, man. What do you think?" She's, and of course, being a doctor, she said the stuff that doctors say: go to the doctor, have this test, that test, this test, that test, this test, that test, and
yeah, none of the stuff she wanted you to test is going to find out anything.
Well, she didn't think I had pneumonia. She thought what I had was a really bad flu, and she was right. I did. I had swine flu that turned into pneumonia. So I had, I was a sick son of a gun early in the week. The big mistake I made is when I, you know, is when I waited. I didn't go to the doctor right away, and I wound up getting pneumonia. But she was the one that said, get over to the doctor now, and I didn't. I screwed around, and that was the end of that. Anyway, welcome back here to the News and Information Hour here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our News and Information Hour is when I'm joined generally by my very deep personal friends, Bud Dickman. Bud?
How you doing today, Mr. Hendry? Pretty good show so far.
Thank you, Bud. God.
You talk much, man, because it stuttered that one out.
I know how to say this. Kiss it.
Yeah, kiss what?
This.
Why, you love...
Hey, hey! Come on, man. Kiss it. Kiss what? This. You knew you were going to get angry at that, too, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know I'm on the air, so why don't you guys just cool it? All right, and Robert Leonard was the guy that almost kicked Bud's ass there.
Yeah, sure. You're going to kick my ass.
Oh, yeah, you want to see the...
Hey! Break it up. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Do you guys honestly think that the day won't come that I fire both of you? Do you really think that day's not going to come? Huh?
I don't know.
Bud? Because the day will come. The day will come that I'll fire you. And if I got to do it on the air, I'll do it on the air. Because if you guys are going to get into fist fights on the air, then I'll fire your ass on the air. But I got the feeling that you guys think, you know, that, I'm not up to the task.
No, I think you are.
You do, huh?
Yeah.
I'm that much of a jackass in your eyes, huh?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I mean, he didn't mean that. He meant, you know...
Never mind. All right, here is a interesting story. A Newcastle man, and when I say Newcastle, I don't really... Oh, it's Hofstra University, so I guess this is Long Island, somewhere out there in Long Island in the fine, idyllic corridors of Long Island. Near the city of New York, a Newcastle man with no formal training allegedly performed dentistry for more than 100 people in an extremely unsanitary office inside his home for more than a year, according to investigators. Manuel Carranza pled not guilty Thursday at Nassau County Court to charges of unauthorized practice of a crime. Unauthorized practice of a crime. What does that mean?
Well, he was practicing a crime.
He was practicing a crime, or was he practicing dentistry without a license? What was he? Unauthorized practice of a crime. Possession of a forged instrument. That's heavy. Possession of a forged instrument.
Yeah, I think if you're going to be a dentist, you got to have real dentist. You got to like have a real dentist tool.
Yeah, well, what?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Well, what does that say? It says forged, like a forged instrument, right?
Yeah, forged, possession of a forged instrument. Are you trying to tell me that instruments can be counterfeited in much the same manner as money? Is that what we're? Is that where we are now?
Yeah, probably. If you're going to be a dentist, they'll only give out official dentist, like the official dentist tools.
Official dentist tools? And if you forge one, if you make out a dentist tool that ain't a dentist tool, wow. I guess if you're going to be a dentist, you have to have the right instruments. Who goes in and checks those guys anyway? Does anybody?
They probably got like a,
I don't know.
Like the American Dental Association. There's the guys that test out toothpaste.
They don't go into offices and check out and see whether your stuff's on. What do you mean toothpaste? The American Dental Association, who knows if they even do toothpaste?
They do, man. Ain't you ever seen that Crest commercial, American Dental Association? That's what they do.
Well, just because they say that doesn't mean that it's true. You guys believe everything, huh?
No, they're not going to say that they do it and then they'll be a liar.
Well, Whatever. I've always questioned that whole American Dental Association bullcrap about Crest toothpaste anyway. Not that I don't... I mean, we use Crest toothpaste here at the Hendry home. But, you know why we use Crest toothpaste? Because that's what I've been using since I was a kid.
Yeah, your mom probably bought into all that stuff.
She did. My mother bought into the whole ADA thing. American Dental Association.
But about that one commercial you said, see mama con gleam.
See mama. Oh, yeah. That was Gleam commercial. Gleam toothpaste. Do they still have Gleam tooth? I don't know. But there was a commercial for Gleam toothpaste. I don't know why, man, but they were doing it was a Spanish commercial. There's nothing wrong with that, but you rarely see Spanish commercials that are targeting an Anglo audience. But I think it was more culturally Spanish. It was one of these deals where Gleam toothpaste is used the world over, you know, and so they showed an American kid brushing his teeth, and...
Yeah, then they showed something unusual, a Mexican kid brushing his. And then,
why don't you shut up, man?
Hey! What is it with you, bud?
Just making a joke.
Why don't they go to your house and show you brushing with Gleam, man? That'll be a miracle. So anyway, they show the kid, and the mother says to the kid in Spanish, did you brush your teeth? And he says, si, mama, con gleam.
What's that mean?
Well, three guesses, man. What do you think it means?
What do you think it means?
I don't know. I don't speak Spanish.
Yes, mom, with gleam.
Well.
What do you mean, well?
Well, he technically said mama, but yeah, I see.
Oh, boy, you're beautiful, man. One minute you don't speak Spanish, and the next minute you're telling me how it is, huh?
You don't speak Spanish.
No, I don't, but that ain't really hard. I speak restaurant Spanish, okay?
Restaurant Spanish? They're going to make you brush your teeth at a restaurant.
You know what I'm talking about. Fake, phony baloney Spanish. The crap that gets you, the stuff that gets you chips and salsa, and you can order your meal. That's how much Spanish I speak. In any event... That was Si Mama Con Gleam, okay? So that was, but then my mother bought Crest because the American Dental Association says the stuff is all that and a bag of chips. I don't know, whatever that said. So that's why we've had Crest at our house all these years. Now, this poor bastard in Long Island, and they're showing a mugshot of this guy. He looks like the most unhappy guy on earth.
Well, he can't be all that happy.
Probably making a lot of money.
Yeah, he probably made a tidy bundle. This guy was practicing dentistry, and he wasn't a dentist. That's beautiful. Manuel Carranza, he pled not guilty. Not guilty. Boy, the guts on this guy. At the Nassau County Court, in charges of unauthorized practice of a crime, possession of a forged instrument, possession of a dangerous weapon, which was probably, you know, the drill, and criminal diversion of a prescription. God, these are some whack laws, man. A judge set his bail at $2,500. That's not very high either. I mean, it's one of those crimes. It's very interesting because it's one of those crimes that I can't really get too upset with, although I'm sure you could kill somebody with bad dentistry, you know.
Well, yeah, if you're going to drill a hole in your head.
No, man, you could hurt somebody. They get an infection.
Somebody could die from bad dentistry, bud. Don't worry about it, man. You get an infection that goes down into the root. You know, people have died from not having taken care of, from not taking care of a toothache. People have died from that. Do you know that? I mean, if you get an abscess and it hits the bloodstream and it hits your heart, you're in trouble. And we worked with a guy down in Miami. I'll never forget. I think I remember his name, but I won't mention. I think he had a badly abscessed tooth that put him in the hospital. All right, we'll be right back with more of this folderol here on Manuel. We also have Don Berman and the mysterious Mr. Dean from Channel 19 coming up next here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Dean wants some equal time. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And you know that if you have a backstage pass, you can watch live streaming video of our show. And we've got our video cast on right now. That's camera number one for those of you that are watching. Hey, what happened to the show logo, man?
No, you took it down, man. Remember?
Oh, we took it down? We got to put our show logo back up. The show logo is not where it is supposed to be. Why was that taken down?
Because that guy, people was in the studio.
The people was in this. Yes, you're right. We had some maintenance going on here. And I was afraid, and I'm still afraid because now that camera looks crooked. In any event, I was afraid that it would get knocked over and somebody was going to get badly hurt. But did you set that camera up?
Yeah.
It's freaking crooked, man.
That man is like tilting to the left.
Oh.
Hold on, I'll do it. I'll do it. Pardon me, folks. Pardon me. I'm still here. Hello, hello, hello. Oh, shoot. Wait. Going the wrong way now. I'm still here. Hold on. I am, God, this is very troubling. What I'm trying to do is just fix a camera that's just not... Oh, that's all jacked up, Dad. Get off that camera angle there, bud. I don't like that, man. We'll just have to go back to camera two. In any event...
Yeah, you made it worse than what it was.
Really? I can't hear you, bud. Say it again, okay?
You made it... Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah. All right. Getting back to this nut, I mean, this guy, I mean, whatever he is, this cat's practicing dentistry out of his house. Are you out of your mind? No. Not really. The guy's got a sixth grade education. Now, get a load of this. His name is Manuel Carranza. And Manuel Carranza is a regular guy. He's just trying to, you know, make a couple of bucks. That's all he's trying to do, trying to get ahead in life. What's wrong with that? He's got a sixth grade education. And it just so happens that Manuel Carranza, with his sixth grade education, picked up some dental books. And he hit the books one fine day and learned enough to do root canals and fillings.
Man, you got to be kidding me.
I'm not kidding. He was doing root canals, he was doing fillings, and he was charging people up to $50. Sixth grade education. This is a guy, you shouldn't put him in jail. You should, somebody ought to send him to school and get him a real education as a dentist because he obviously has the aptitude for it. But here's the part that I don't get. And when I say the aptitude, I would imagine that had he killed anybody or made anybody really sick, we would have heard about it by now. But here's the thing that the detectives were talking about. As I mentioned, he said, I can't stress enough how dirty and unclean the office was. They didn't have an autoclave that sterilized dental tools. Now, how is it that a guy knows enough about dentistry that he can do root canals? He is buying lidocaine over the internet. He's buying other anesthetic over the internet. He's making dental tools, okay? This is a guy who is resourceful. I can't say that I admire somebody breaking the law, but for God's sake, like I said, if this cat had any kind of education, he knows all of this stuff, but he doesn't know enough to keep a clean office.
What do you mean a clean office? Who cares?
I'm talking about the clean instruments, man. You're going to get somebody's going to get killed if you have any kind of bacteria or infection that sets in after you've done... and it can happen after you've done dental work. So the guy, he's got this idiot savant, man. He's got this ability to do dental work, but he's also a knucklehead. Oh, yeah, by the way, my instruments are dirty. I don't, you know.
Well, they shut his ass down, ma'am. All that cheap root canal. Hell, I would have gone see him myself if I haven't had a bad toothache. That's a pretty good price.
Yeah, but the guy don't have no autoclave.
You don't even know what that is.
I know.
An autoclave is an auto. It's a thing that an autoclave is a pressure steamer. We used to use one when I was a veterinarian's assistant. Did you guys ever know that I worked for a veterinarian?
Uh-uh.
What's that?
A veterinarian's an animal doctor.
Dumbass.
Hey, man.
Okay, hey. Veterinarian's an animal doctor, okay? I used to work for an animal hospital when I was, like, just out of high school. And so, anyway, make a long story short, we had to autoclave all the instruments and stuff. It's like a steam cooker. And you just boil the hell out of that stuff, man. Boil the hell out of those instruments until till they were sterile, and, you know, then it was clean. It's only been up to the middle of the 19th century that we know anything about keeping things clean. Before that, we, as a race, the human race was filthy. We stunk, and we rarely bathed.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. No, I'm not kidding. Why do you think they put all the perfume on? Because we stunk, and we rarely bathed.
That's like if you actually went in a time machine and went back in a time, you would not want to have sex with Cleopatra because she probably smelled like dew.
Yeah, Cleopatra probably smelled like an outhouse.
Cleopatra, huh?
Yeah.
What is it with you guys? What, you think she's the epitome of beauty, huh?
Yeah, everybody know Cleopatra's beautiful.
Would it surprise you to know that Cleopatra was ugly?
What do you mean ugly?
She was ugly, man. Ugly! But she was a very sexy chick, so that's all you needed to know there.
What do you mean about sexy?
She was a sexy chick. She knew what made men. She knew how to rock a guy's world. You don't know about Cleopatra, huh?
Yeah, man. They said she's the most beautiful woman around.
She had a face that'd make a watch stop. But that's not really what, you know, that's not beauty anyway. You know what she did? She had herself rolled up in a carpet. Okay.
What do you mean?
You lay on a carpet, and then they roll it up. She was rolled up inside the carpet, and it was brought to the suite of rooms or whatever the hell in the palace that was being used by the Roman general Mark Antony. And he was there in Egypt, I believe, to forge or to further some level of alliance between the Roman Empire and the Egyptian queen, the house of the monarchy there. And Cleopatra knew exactly what she was doing, man. This is a very well-known story, and it actually happened. She had herself rolled up on a carpet so that when this carpet came to Mark Antony's room, and he's looking, well, this is nice, it's beautiful. You know, they probably said to him, oh, it's a beautiful tapestry that you can take back to Rome with you, whatever. And he unrolled it.
Wow, man, there's a new chick there.
Yep, there was Cleopatra, nude and ready to rock and roll.
Wow.
Yeah. And as the story goes, as history tells us, they became immediately infatuated and fascinated and in love and spent all of their time together. And he spent the rest of his time there in Egypt with her in her company and eventually brought her back to Rome as his queen. Now, I'm not exactly sure what Mark Antony's role was in the Roman leadership, but she came back. It might have been Caesar that brought her back, but she came back with a Roman son. She had a son by Julius Caesar, one of the two. And it was her, and she was very smart. She said, my son is going to sit on the throne of Rome, because she wanted to have the Roman blood in her son so that he would have the inheritance there. I don't think it's how that worked out.
Didn't you say, like, she probably got killed or something?
I'm going to have to freshen up on my Cleopatra history. She might have been killed or something, but that's the one part of the Cleopatra story I know about, you know.
What would you do if you come to your room and they said, here's a rug?
What would I do if I what?
You went to your room and they dropped a rug off.
If I went to my room and they dropped a rug off, where am I anyway?
Well, let's just say you're like at the Marriott.
If I'm at the Marriott and they drop a rug off.
Well, wherever you're staying.
Well, what am I supposed to think? If I'm at the freaking Marriott and they drop a rug off, I'd probably get that thing out of here.
What an idiot, man. It might be Cleopatra.
Get out of here, both of you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. What if they dropped a rug off? Hey, where's Don Berman? Get him. He's coming up next.
My God, Henry, I've been sitting on hold here for a whole half hour.
Sorry.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're going to have Don Berman on the line. I know that Don, Bud, if you've got Mr. Berman, and I think it's Mr. Dean, just ask them to hold on for a minute. I can hear the newsroom there, though.
Yeah, I got him on the phone. Hold on.
What is that?
That's the ISDN line that goes to...
That's the ISDN to Channel 19.
Yeah.
Okay. 877-876-PHIL, and that's our number. We're not taking calls this hour, but it's our news and information hour, but you know, every little bit helps. Don, do I have you?
Well, it's Don Berman here, and with Mr. Dean as well, who did want to come back on the program tonight.
Okay, yeah, I know that. I got that message. Mr. Dean, how are you, sir?
Right there.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Phil?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and... And I wanted to come on a program because I wanted to explain to Don and to you and to the audience, you know, what we do and how to, you know, how you know, if you heard some things last night. I don't know if what you heard some things last night they should not have heard. I apologize for you. I don't think they heard anything. Let me say it. Hold on for a minute. Okay, just hold on. If you heard some things, I didn't mean to disrespect Don. Okay, I'm just Don. I want to say what I want to say. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
I want to come on your program, Mr. Henry, say thank you for having me on. Last night I know we had an espresso machine going. I apologize for that.
Well, no, it was a little noisy. People were using the espresso a lot, you know.
But I didn't want people to think I was being rude. But Don knows, you know, we're in a situation here. We're trying to try to generate some revenue. I had a meeting last night, you know.
I understand, but you had Cassie and people coming over here using the espresso machine.
Yeah, I know, but we've already done that. See, we already talked about that. So all I want to do is sell some airtime, you know, try to get the station to make some money, you know.
Right. But you know, you said you wanted to come on here and tell Phil about how we do business here at Channel 19.
Yeah, you know, I want to say to Phil, Don does a good job for us, you know. But I gotta move, you know, get some airtime sold, this and that, right? You know,
right?
I gotta make a living. I got mouths to feed, right? So I'm like trying to earn here, and I can't earn. So I want to tell Donnie, you do what you do. I'm gonna do what I do. I gotta do what I do. You know,
right?
But you gotta do what you do. And
what does that mean? I gotta do what I gotta do. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? What do you do? What? What do you do? I do the news. Hey, do what you do. You do what you do. I'm gonna do what I do. See, you got to do what you do, I do what I got to do, what I do. Don't bring Tommy up to me, you do what you do, I got to do what I do.
I didn't bring Tommy up to you.
No, but I'm just saying, you know.
What are you saying? That Don's doing a good job, though, huh?
Yeah. Don's doing a good job. And everybody's doing a good job. But I got to go out, I got to, you know, I got to sell some airtime, right? You know, that's all I got to do. Right?
Yeah, sure, right.
Right. So, like, you know, and anyway, I'm going to go out, get some airtime sold, this kind of thing, and it's going to be beautiful.
Okay?
All right. Doing a good job.
Hey. No, great. Please don't touch my hair like that.
Hey, come on.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Dean.
So Mr. Ray says thank you.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you.
So, what was that about?
That was him, Mr. Dean.
Do you know his first name?
No, I do not. No, I do not. And I will tell you one other thing. I don't think the name Dean is real. But I will tell you that that was him saying he was sorry for the espresso machine getting fired off last night. And he was also apologizing for, you know, all the noise. And he was saying that he really likes what I do, but that he's got to go, and here he is again. What? Hey, I'm sorry. Let me have the phone.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, I'm sorry. This is Mr. Dean. I'm sorry. Guys, come on, I got a cup of coffee, right? If it makes too much noise, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's making a lot of noise.
Hey, I'm sorry, huh? I just do what I do. I do what I do. I know you're doing what you're doing. What you're doing is too loud. Hey, do what I do? What? Do what I do. Go ahead and do what you do. God.
I don't know. I don't know if that guy's going to work out or not, huh?
You know, I mean, all I'm trying to do is wet my beak. Come on! Just one more. Just one more. One more, that's all. Just one more, that's all. I just got to take it to the guy over here. What? I'm going to take it to a guy. I'm just taking it to the guy. There we go. All right. Take it to the guy over here. Yeah, take it to the guy over there. Take it to the guy. Take it to the guy. Yes, the guy. So anyway.
Look, I don't want to say anything, but just don't run afoul of this guy, because...
Oh, are you kidding me? Because he has an espresso machine? So you think he's mobbed up?
That was real nice.
I'm sorry, but I've been here for the last... I'm hungry. I did eat, but I want to eat more. And I didn't mean to belch. I am only going to... What is the story here, Chris?
He's been attacked.
Hey. Don't belch. I belched by mistake.
Would you get that coffee machine shut? Would you unplug it or something?
Get it out of here. Get it out of here. Hey, look at my espresso machine. Get it out. Get 5, 4, 3. Thank you.
I would say that you've got a situation there. There's no question about it. But to the extent that Mr. Dean apologized, we accept his apology.
Thank you very much. That's all I wanted to hear. And we'll continue to do the very fine reporting that we do here at Channel 19. Mr. Dean, I know, will always...
Okay, see you later, man.
No.
I had to...
Yeah, gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, gotta do it.
I got to do what I got to do. All right, so he almost started bawling there. That was weird. Okay, here's something that I think we can all relate to, and at some point in our lives, we hope and pray it doesn't happen to anyone that we know or to ourselves. A 26-year-old man was killed in a horrific accident when a beer keg exploded and blasted him with metal shrapnel.
What's that?
Metal shrapnel is just shards of material from an explosion. And this stuff just pierced him. Ben Harris is this poor kid's name. He was working at the Red Hook Ale Brewery, and this is in Great Britain. And he was cleaning out a keg when it exploded. Poor guy. Here's a picture of him. Looks like a nice guy. Ben Harris died from wounds to his head and his chest he received after pumping an empty keg full of air at about 7 a.m. on Tuesday so he could clean it. Oh, my God.
That's how you do it?
I don't know. I don't know how you clean out a keg. The keg was apparently defective. Well, I guess. And could not withstand the pressure. Can you say lawsuit?
Yeah, they bet you they don't got them kind of lawsuits over there.
Why wouldn't they have them over there?
Yeah, they might have some liability.
They must have some kind of a liability law.
Do I hear an echo in here?
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so you and I are thinking the same thing. Anyway, Harris, he was working at Red Hook Ale Brewery in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. Oh, it's in New Hampshire. Oh, this is in New Hampshire. He's an American. You got this off the Daily Mail. Come on, will you, bud?
I don't know.
God. So this no wonder he's wearing a Pittsburgh Steeler hat. He was working at the Red Hook Ale Brewery in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. He was rushed to the hospital, but he died shortly after arriving. He was pumping air into the keg to release any residual beer inside. Oh, the poor kid. Something failed where it basically blew apart under the pressure and with such force that parts of the keg pushed into his chest, and into his head. Portsmouth Assistant Fire Chief Stephen Achilles told WBZ Television. Firefighters found Mr. Harris unresponsive and with a weak pulse. The company, which has breweries in Portsmouth and I believe this is Woodinville, Washington, closed its pub in New Hampshire and issued a statement on its Facebook page expressing sympathy to the Harris family. You cats are gonna, you better get ready, man, because it's gonna come fast and furious. We're doing everything in our power to understand the circumstances surrounding this tragic accident. We've closed down all non-essential operations at the Portsmouth Brewery, including the pub, while the investigation continues. Red Hook was one of the first major craft breweries in the country, founded in 1981. What they used to call microbreweries. Now they call it a major craft brewery. It produces about 360,000 barrels of beer every year and is publicly traded on NASDAQ. There you have it.
You think I'm going to sue?
I think there's a lawsuit, yeah. There's no question there's a lawsuit. There's no question there's a lawsuit. Who? I don't know who you sue. And I have to be honest with you, these days, you know, I mean, it's just, I would, you know.
Yeah, that you said we was too, how you said that. Yeah, what's that word?
Litigious? God, you guys, man.
I don't know how to pronounce it.
We are a litigious society, there's no question about it, but I have to tell you, if this is death, man, this is death, you dig? This is death. This is high. I'm working in a building, and I'm doing what they told me to do the job that I'm doing for this company, and the thing that they told me to do just killed me. So, gee, this is not, you know, think I'm going to sue you because, I don't know, I'm going to sue you because the tires you sold me should have lasted longer than they did, even though I was driving them over, red hot asphalt 50 times. You know, in other words, it's not one of these. There's no black. This is very, very black and white. There's no gray areas on this one. There's a lot of frivolous lawsuits. There's no question. But I don't see how this is frivolous. If that was my son or a blood relative of mine. No way, man. No way.
What wouldn't you sue?
What wouldn't I sue? What are you talking about? What wouldn't I sue? I've never sued. Let's be clear about something, bud, if you think I'm Mr. Litigious. I've never sued anybody in my life. I've been sued. I've never sued a soul. That doesn't mean that I won't. That doesn't mean that, you know, I'm not reaching my threshold for bullcrap.
Well, what's that mean, man? You going to sue somebody?
No, I'm not suing anybody. I'm just saying I've never sued anybody. So if you think that you think I'm one of these guys that I'm looking around the corner for a lawsuit, I'm looking for my opportunity to sue. No, I'm not. I wouldn't know what to look for, okay? I'm not one of those guys. I'm a guy that I've been sued, but I don't sue. But you're asking me about this? Hell yeah, I'd sue. This is cut and dried. Cut and dried. All right.
Just like asparagus.
Just like asparagus. Like asparagus. All right, we'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show in our final segment on the show tonight and philhendryshow.com.
Truth.
Watch for our show log, too.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Right after the show.
We have heard about people who have been the victims of, of horrifying accidents. We've heard of people who might have had some level of aptitude or a kind of an aptitude for things, but got, you know, they got arrested because they didn't get their license. In other words, we've heard stories where there are extenuating circumstances and perhaps unfortunate circumstances. But here's one where it's completely on this lady, man. She died trying to live on sunlight.
Hey!
Thank you.
Now you're going to kill me. That's pretty good.
Absolutely. If she could have done it, it's pretty good.
Well, you say that lady deserved to die?
Well, what do you think, man?
Yeah, trying to live on sunlight. Yeah, but man, at least she gave it a shot.
Gave what a shot?
At least she tried to live on sunlight. To see if we don't need to have no food.
Well, what are you going to tell me now, man? She sacrificed herself for the great dream of living on sunlight? Are you high? You know what? I'm going to start drug testing around here.
No, please don't.
Yeah,
I ain't taking no drug, man. I'm just saying.
You ain't saying anything. She's an idiot. What do you mean? I feel bad for her? Get out of here. What? People, you know, the human race, the ego that we have just never ceases to amaze me. First of all, as a creature that crawls around on the earth like every other creature, oh, well, we just think we're something special. Maybe we are something special because we suddenly woke up one day and we realized that we were something. Then we started wearing clothes.
Jock straps. That's probably when we started wearing jock straps. That's when we thought we were really all that.
Why? What difference does that make?
Think about it. Just think about it.
I'm thinking.
Yeah, me too. What's...
Are you kidding? You can figure a guy's going to wear clothes, but a jock strap?
So the jock strap is when we took another great leap forward as a species? Is that it?
I think so, yeah.
Why?
Because if you have regular clothes and you have like a bear skin or whatever, okay, fine, you're all covered up. Then one day a guy goes, you know what? This isn't good enough. I think I'm going to put a hammock down there for it.
You trying to tell me because you dropped it into a hammock, all of a sudden, we like evolved?
I think there was a point of evolution, yeah.
All of a sudden, we dropped it into a hammock, and that was a point. Man.
Well, what are you laughing at?
Oh, get out of here. What am I laughing at? I'm laughing at you, man. At you. And this woman I'm laughing at, too. I'm sorry, she died. But would you come on? The human species kills me, man. Live on sunlight? Where the hell? How far do you... See, this generation, and it started really with my generation, the whole dawning of the age of Aquarius. All of a sudden, we imagined that we'd taken some... Well, just like you guys were saying, some evolutionary leap forward. It's almost like in Waterworld where that cat had gills. You know, I mean, it's the same thing.
That movie was pretty good.
Well, it might be pretty good, man, but we just ain't there yet, okay? Talking about all this stuff, it's like I always like to say, there may come a time when the human race achieves peace on Earth, but this ain't the generation's going to do it. I hate to break the news. As groovy as we think we are, man, live on sunlight. The woman gave up food and water on her spiritual journey. Yeah, I'll bet it was a spiritual journey. Get a load of this. Documentary film, In the Beginning There Was Light, gave her the idea. Where are my glasses? The prosecutor's office in the Swiss state of Aragu confirmed Wednesday that the woman died in the town of Woldenham or something in eastern Switzerland. Where are my glasses, man?
Here.
The prosecutor's office. I hope they prosecute somebody's ass. Swiss newspaper Tops Anzeiger reports that a woman starved to death after embarking on a spiritual diet that required her to stop eating or drinking and live off sunlight alone. Right.
Yeah, you would tell me though about a guy you heard about.
What guy did I hear about?
That one guy you read that by Paramahansa. What's the guy's name?
Paramahansa Yogananda. He didn't live on sunlight.
What?
This cat wrote a book called Autobiography of a Yogi. Okay.
What's the guy's name again?
Paramahansa Yogananda.
What? That sounds like a cheese.
Yeah, it sounds like one of them cheeses you get.
Does it sound like a cheese? Great. I tell you what you guys ought to do is start a cheese called Paramahansa Yogananda. You know?
I will. And it'll smell bad, too, like a guy's feet in India.
Great. You'll have a cheese that smells like a guy's feet in India. Will you shut up and let me finish? Anyway, he writes in that book, Autobiography of a Yogi, this cat wrote about all kinds of guys in India that did all kinds of things. Some cat... And who knows, man? But he wrote about one guy that he called a breatharian. Not a vegetarian. Not a fruititarian.
Not a gayitarian.
Not a gayitarian. You shut up. This was a breatharian.
What did he live on?
Breathing. Breath. Air. And the dude, this yogi that was the breatharian, living on air, this cat would do meditations where he would bury his head in dirt. So he would stand on his head... And then they'd fill in a hole around his head where he was standing on his head. So he'd have his head buried. So he'd be standing on his head. And his head is buried. And he's like that for like an hour.
Get out of here.
Well, I don't know whether it's true or not either. But that was in this book. So there's what I'm trying to say to you is there have been stories and there have been people who have claimed this and that and this and that, this and that, that you can live on, you know, the grooviness of the molecules and the atoms and all that stuff. But I've never heard of anybody actually doing it. The only thing I have is this anecdotal stuff from that book. And this woman, she ain't around no more, man. The prosecutor's office in the Swiss state of Agru confirmed that she died in January 2011. Wow. There have been similar cases of self-starvation in Germany, Britain, and Australia. The Zurich newspaper reported Wednesday that the unnamed Swiss woman in her 50s decided to follow the radical fast in 2010 after viewing an Austrian documentary about an Indian guru, aha, who claims to have lived this way for 70 years. He was a guru, baby. You're a housewife. Big difference! World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Hendry. Join us online at philhendryshow.com for our live video casts each and every night. I think you'll dig it. It's all so ever fascinating and bitch. Until then, have yourselves a swell day and let that all be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.